Greetings this morning. In Christ's name, welcome to each one. Glad to have Darren and John Clare back with us again. Welcome back and look forward to hearing about your time. You were gone. Maybe we'll have to arrange a time that you can share to the congregation here. Be glad to hear about that. Anyway, welcome to each one. Those that have been gone, those that have been here. Last 2 weeks I've been gone, as most of you know, been mostly gone, and it's good to be back home again. This morning, I want to continue the series that I started been some time ago already on the fruit of the Spirit. We have listed in Galatians chapter 5. You can turn to that. I desire your prayers this morning. I'll admit it's been kind of a struggle. The devil is, I don't know. I guess the one that I want to look at is peace. And struggled a lot with that this weekend and thinking about sharing. I'm not sure why. It seemed like the devil came to me in many, many areas and challenging me and my peace with God. Do I really know what it is all about? Do I know what this peace is? And so I preach this to myself first of all. I'm thankful for the peace that we can have in God, thankful for the peace that I do have, and it's my desire for each one of us that we would be able to experience the peace that God desires us to have. Last time we talked about joy, the joy of the Lord in our hearts, and in some ways this is very closely connected to that. There are tied very closely together. All of the fruit is very much tied together. So the title of the message is simply The Spirit Fruit of Peace. And I guess I would just ask the question this morning for each of us to consider, are you experiencing peace this morning? Stop for a moment and think, reflect of your life, in your life. Are you really experiencing peace? And I'm not here to put questions in people's mind if you really are experiencing peace. I don't want to question that at all, but I want us to think about the peace of God. Do we really know what it's about? I've divided the message largely into two parts. First of all, I want to look at the basis of the peace that God would desire us to have. And there is a basis to this. Scripture is very clear on our peace with Him, how we receive that, how we can experience that. And then second, look at peace as it relates to the child of God and largely in evidences of that. Evidences of that in my life. Evidence that I am experiencing peace with God. So let's turn to our verses again in Galatians 5. You turned to that already. Read these verses again, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the point that I want to especially remember as we go through this thing about peace is verse 24, where it says, and they that are Christ's. And they that are Christ's. That is what makes the difference. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And it's as we do that, as we are of Christ, as we are His child, as we have crucified, as we continually crucify the affections and all that goes with it, the lust of the flesh, previous or here, and if you back up in chapter 5, you see a list of things. Have those things been crucified? And it's only as they are that we can experience this peace that we want to think about. Let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 32, some verses in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 32. Scripture has a lot to say about peace, and we'll be looking at a number of scriptures referring to them. Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18 says, "And the work of righteousness," again, take note of these words, "and the work of righteousness shall be peace." Okay, righteousness is connected with this peace. "And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." This morning, God's intent is that we experience peace. He desires that of us. He wants us to experience that within our heart. Peace does not come without effort. We can't just say that we are at peace, or we desire peace, and it automatically happens. But it takes effort. Psalm 34, verse 14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And I get the thought there. I get from that the thought that there's work involved. It takes effort. It takes work on our part. Thinking back, the beginning of time, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, mankind has been in search of peace, ever since the fall of man. And the reason is for that is because of what sin has done and sin continues to do today. Sin back there separated Adam and Eve from God. It separated them from God. And today, we have inherited that sin nature. It has been a part of us from the moment we were born. We have that sin nature within us. And so therefore, mankind has been in search of peace. And it struck me that as a Christian, Scripture tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, which is a part of us when we become born again, that Spirit enters in and empowers us. And part of the evidence of that Spirit within us is that we are at peace. That is evidence of the Spirit within us, of being at peace. But mankind has been seeking peace for years and years and years, all through time. And it seems that many cannot find it. There's a continual looking to things. Mankind in general will do all sorts of things to fill that void that is there, that void that was meant for peace with God, was meant for a relationship with God. Our soul, our heart cries out for peace and oneness and tranquility of mind and soul, of heart. This thing about peace, again, I don't know, my mind just kind of wandered quite a bit to this thought of mankind's desire for peace. And I remember at quite a young age hearing people talk about peace talks in the Middle East. I remember my dad talking about that. He had an interest in the things of Israel. There are some reasons for that. Some of his mother was over in Israel for a time, and anyway, that's a story in itself. But so my dad talked quite a bit about. I heard him talking quite a bit about these peace talks that were taking place way back then. The Arabs and the Jews have been at peace talks for years and years, and yet there is no peace. And we hear about it a lot today, that there is a lot of violence, and the search for peace continues so often through violence. They feel, there's individuals feel like that is That is what will bring about peace. Violence will bring that about. Well, there is one person that I've heard about that has decided that there is a different way for peace in the Middle East. In the country of Afghanistan, I didn't realize this until just recently, but for approximately 30 years, Afghanistan has been at war. Well, there's this French lady. Some of you may have heard about this. But there's this French lady that has decided that she needs to help this country of Afghanistan find peace. And she has said that she's determined that war will not bring peace. Well, I believe she is correct in that. She is correct that war will not bring peace. But she has determined that peace is not attained through conflict. And this lady is meeting with former Taliban insurgents, military personnel. I understand this is going on right now. This lady is that's her work. She's meeting former Taliban insurgents, military personnel, policemen, radical Islamic jihadists on a regular basis to teach them to find peace. Well, her method that she's using is meditation and yoga. That is the meditation that is the method that she's using to try to bring about peace in the Middle East. And she says that it is a new method for an old problem and it will work. Well, I guess we'll see. But she admits, she says that it sounds rather crazy and it's a long shot, but it's something that has to be done. She admits that. Well, peace has to be attained, and her theory is that through this, through meditation and inner peace and yoga practice, that these fighters and men who fought battles and are very calloused in those ways, and they're very good at what they do, that they will somehow find peace, and the healing of Afghanistan will begin. Well, we look at that, and of course we know better than that. We raise our eyebrows and say, you know, well, that's sure not the answer, and that's right. Well, we don't have to look very far. We don't have to look at the Middle East. We don't have to look at Afghanistan. We don't have to look at other countries to know that peace avoids us in many, well, peace avoids us all in some degree. It tries to do that. Here in the United States, our communities are at war. There is racial tension. There are communities that are at war with each other in some way, maybe not outwardly, maybe not just out fighting, but there are many, many areas where there is a lot of tension. Peace at some level escapes us, and the pursuit is for peace. We long for restoration and peace. Let me bring it a little bit closer home. In our marriages, some find that peace has eluded them. That's a struggle sometimes. Conflict reigns in marriages at times. Sometimes there is conflict between brethren, between sisters in the church. Sometimes between families there is conflict. We probably are aware of those. Sure, we're aware of those situations, and maybe even at times experiencing some of that in our extended families and so on. We seek peace. Scripture teaches us that as Christians, we are to have the fruit of peace, and it should be evident. So my question is, what about you this morning? Are you looking for peace? Are you at peace? Has peace escaped you and you've just kind of accepted the fact? You know, sometimes I wonder if we haven't become just a little too cynical with this whole thing and said, you know, there will always be conflict. Conflict will always be around us. Well, in a way that is true. Conflict will always be. But what about my life personally? What about your life personally? This peace that I'm talking about, is it attained through, or how is it attained? Is it attained through what the world offers. And there's where sometimes I feel like we have a breakdown. There's where we go wrong in this thing. We're looking for peace in wrong places. The world says you can do yoga if you'd like to. The world says you can do meditation. The world offers all sorts of self-help techniques to bring about peace. They offer conflict management. Go to a counselor and get help. Conflict management. The world offers entertainment to bring about peace. You name it. These things are offered as ways to find peace. To bring about peace and the void that is in our heart. That is what the world has to offer. And I'm wondering this morning, where do we find peace? Is it in having the latest that that technology has to offer? Is it in the planned shopping trip where you can spend a lot of money? Some people find peace in that. I'm not quite sure where they get that, but some find peace in that, find fulfillment in that. Getting those things that you really like and you dream about. Some people find fulfillment there. Peace in spending money and filling the needs for self-gratification. Maybe your peace comes in working 24/7. You just work all the time working. You find fulfillment in your life. Maybe it's because you're away from your wife and your family, and you find fulfillment in your work. Guarantee you, I didn't find fulfillment in that being gone the last 2 weeks. There was a lot of fulfillment in coming home last evening and knowing that I could stay at home for a while. But many people find fulfillment in work, in being gone, just filling their life with work, find peace in that. Well, all of that, you know, and I know, is simply empty. It's plain down empty. So I don't know where we're at this morning necessarily. But we say that we are a people of peace. We say we are a people of peace with God and our fellow men. Just recently we had council meeting and communion, and we each gave our testimony as to our peace with God, with our fellow men, with the brotherhood. And I believe we do. I believe we were all honest in that as far as we know, we do have that peace with each other, and I'm thankful for that. But I would just like to say here at the beginning that the kind of peace that the Bible is talking about when it is talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that kind of peace does not come by the things that I just mentioned, the things of the world, the things that are out there beckoning for our attention. You cannot have peace outside of a relationship with God. Is that too strong of a statement? I don't believe it is. Jesus came to this earth to bring peace. In Luke chapter 1, where Zacharias was prophesying, he was speaking of John the Baptist coming, and then he referred to Jesus, and he says he comes to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That is why Jesus came. Jesus came to this earth to guide our feet into the way of peace, to bring peace. There's no other way. You cannot, again, you cannot find true peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in order for us to understand that this peace that is evidence of the Spirit that is within us, something needs to happen. Something needs to take place. I believe we do understand that. There is a better way to find peace than through what the world has to offer. And it is the most fulfilling, adequate way of finding that peace. Scripture tells us that all men have sinned. I referred to already to the sinful nature that we are born with. We have taken on that sin nature. It has been, how would you say, it's been given to us, passed on to us, however you want to say that. And in that realization, in the depth of our soul, I believe each one of us, whether we realize it or not, we want reconciliation. We want reconciliation to the one that created us, to our Creator. And so often, we refuse to seek after that peace with him. So often we go after peace and the things that I mention, and it's futile. Well, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and our relationship with God has been severed just by the fact that we are born. This morning, we can have that peace that passes all understanding by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, by accepting the fact that I am a sinner, that I need salvation, that I need restoration with God, with the Father, with my Creator, and by acknowledging that I am a sinner, repenting of those sins and asking forgiveness, and then asking in faith that the blood of Jesus Christ covers my sins and cleanses me from all unrighteousness, accepting the gift, that wonderful gift of restoration that Jesus Christ brings peace that the Scripture talks about. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 says, All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So if you are here this morning and you want that peace, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only answer. It's not those shopping trips. It's not your money. It's not your friends. It's not your work that you pour yourself into. But it is Jesus Christ, and in him alone will there be satisfaction that will fill you with that peace, because he has come to reconcile you to God the Father, and only God, who is the God of peace. Paul, the apostle, over and over in the New Testament said, "May the God of peace," and then he goes on to say, "do so and so," whatever it is. Many times, I read a number of those in Paul's writings. May the God of peace, God is a God of peace. He longs to be reconciled with each of us, and he pursues all of us. He pursues all of us in that way. And again, it is only as we are reconciled to him that we can have that peace. Let's turn over to Colossians. Read just a couple of verses there. Colossians chapter 1. I love these verses. Verses 20 through 22. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." That is for you and I this morning. We can have that peace. And I pray that each of us are experiencing that peace. And if there is not that peace, we have a choice to make. Again, you cannot have peace without a relationship with God. Well, that is the foundation. There's a lot more that could be said about that. That is the foundation for the rest of the message. For many of us this morning, we have experienced that reconciling experience. We have experienced that in our heart. How many of you can remember when you were born again? Raise your hand. Okay, many of us can. We can remember when we were born again, when the Holy Spirit truly enters in and changes you. Peace floods through you. I still well remember that. My dad and mom's bedroom, there, kneeling by the bed, and how the peace of God flooded my soul. I well remember that. I was raised in a Christian home, but I did not know peace until I was born again. Just because I was raised in a Christian home didn't automatically make me experience that peace of God that he wanted me to experience. We needed to come, each of us needed to come to the foot of the cross and experience that reconciliation with Him. Evidence of peace in my life. That is the second half I'd like to look at for the rest of our time here. Evidences of peace in my life. So to us that have experienced that reconciliation, that are experiencing a relationship with Jesus Christ, what is the evidence that you have peace with God? We say we have peace with God, but is it evident? What is that evidence? What is the fruit of the Spirit? If I was to ask your family, if you have the Spirit fruit of peace, what would they say? John, or Jesus, said in John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And then in verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That peace that it's talking about should be evident in my life. It should be evident in your life. And that peace is not the peace that the world gives. We already talked about that. It is the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Again, the question is it evident in your life? And for us this morning who are born again, I have three things that I'd like for us to notice. I'd like to share with you as evidence for peace. Is the Holy Spirit active in your life? And I'm sure there are others that we could put here. This could have been worded in different ways, I'm sure. But the first one that I have is a question for us to consider is, are you intentionally dwelling in the secret place of God? Think about that. Are you intentionally dwelling in the secret place of God? Turn with me to Psalm 91. A familiar psalm. The reason I ask this question is because if you are truly born again, if I am truly born again, and we are truly serving the Lord, you and I, it doesn't take long for us after we have been born again to know that it is not all roses. It is not all an easy path. There are trials. There are struggles. Let's be real. We face those things. Those things that come about and, well, it challenges our peace. It causes us to lose our peace at times, depending how we respond to those things. There are trials and there are struggles. There are difficulties in life. And I believe that the evidence of peace in my life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life, is that when those times come, how do I respond? Do I quickly turn to and seek after the secret place of the Most High when those times come? The key to that is faith. Let's read here just the first two verses. Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." The key for this question of are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High is simply faith. I mentioned that already. What kind of faith do you have when those difficult times come? Those times that it seems like maybe my world is just, well, it's upside down. We have those times. It's real. Struggles, sickness, disease, unfaithful family members, death in the family, many things. David was very acquainted with that kind of lifestyle. He was as I thought of David's life here, the one that wrote this psalm. He was a hunted man. It was not safe for David to be around the king. He was hunted and he ran for his life. He lived in caves, and truly, if one could say their world was upside down, he could maybe say that. But he sits down and he writes, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." What I see here is that David had a confidence in God, confidence in who God is in your life, confidence in a God who does all things well. He controls the circumstances, the things in life, whatever is happening in my life. God is doing it well. Is that the kind of peace you have? Is that where you go quickly? In the turmoils of your life, do you go and quickly seek that out? The secret place can be found. It is not something that is withheld from you and I. It can be found, but you have to seek after it. You have to look for it. Faith is the key that opens up the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that enables us to live according to His will, which produces peace in my life. Being in the will of God, I believe, is directly connected to if we have peace or not. In spite of being a hunted man, I believe David could be at peace. In spite of the difficulties in my life, I can be at peace. You know, it's easy. It's so easy to get sidetracked by the little bitty things in life, and then our faith becomes so weak that we fail to seek the secret place of the Most High. So are you intentionally dwelling? Do you seek after the secret place of the Most High? Peace comes through confidence in God. Are you a peaceful person, and is peace evident in your life, even in the turmoil and in the storms? Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth what? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So those storms, those difficulties, those David moments in your life, peaceable fruit of righteousness. Are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Number two, another evidence of peace, simply again a question, are you a peacemaker? Is it evident in your life that you love to bring about peace in relationships? And when conflicts occur, they will. They do take place. You immediately endeavor to bring about peace. Now, I'm not talking about a peace that ignores issues. I'm not talking about that. There is that within us that says, I will not tackle that issue because it is too nasty, or I don't want to offend someone, or whatever. And we ignore the issue, thinking that we have kept the peace. Well, that is a false peace. Sometimes we are called as peacemakers to speak truth in love and to do it well. But is that your heart, to make peace by speaking truth in love? But are you speaking truth because you feel, or because you have strong feelings about this situation? Sometimes we can use that to our advantage to say, or to address our strong feelings. Well, I'm speaking the truth in love. Well, certainly God knows our heart. But here's what the heart of a peacemaker looks like. And I was struck with the fact that to Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." What does a peacemaker look like? I believe a peacemaker has a tender, forgiving love for those who continually go astray or those who are at odds with you. A peacemaker has a tender, forgiving love for those individuals. Think about the people who who maybe you are at odds with. Think about the people you struggle with. Think about the people who you feel may be going astray. What kind of attitude do I have toward them? Am I tender? Am I forgiving? loving towards them and endeavor to bring them back into a peaceable relationship? I think those are questions that I do well, that we do well to ask ourselves. Another thing under this of what a peacemaker looks like, he needs to have a sincere spirit of humility. When someone sits down and talks with you, or you talk about a situation or person, or a person, what kind of spirit do I have in those situations? Am I a humble person, or am I arrogant and proud? Are you belligerent and forceful in your arguments or discussions? If you have the spirit fruit of peace, then you will endeavor to be a peacemaker, and you will have the spirit of humility in the conflicts of life, in the difficult things, with the difficult people. No one is influenced for peace when we are belligerent and when we lack humility. A peacemaker is not a critical person. Rather, he is a person of prayer. A peacemaker is not a critical person. Learning to intercede for each other rather than criticizing is what a peacemaker does. And so I ask myself and I ask you, do you have the face of a peacemaker? Is peace evident in your life? Because without that relationship, without being at peace with God, it is difficult to be at peace here in this level. It will be very difficult. And so when you find yourself lacking, when I find myself lacking in these areas, I need to ask myself, am I in my inner man really at peace with God? Because really what is in will come out and other people feel it. Am I a peacemaker? The third final evidence of the fruit of the Spirit that I want to think about here, number three, is are you preaching the gospel of peace to all people? You know, we can say a lot of things. We can say all of this stuff. It's easy to say that I'm at peace with God and the Holy Spirit is within me. And I believe He is. But unless the Spirit fruit of peace is evident and is growing in us, well, I think one of the key things for us to know for sure that we have the fruit within us is, am I preaching the gospel of peace to all people? You and I have been saved. The gospel is not just so that I am born again and saved. It is that, but it is also that I go and preach the gospel of peace. So my question to myself and you is, am I preaching the gospel of peace? Isaiah 52, verse 7. Says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Romans 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. How active am I in preaching the gospel of peace? Am I living in such a way that those around me in the community know that I have the spirit fruit of peace? We need to ask ourselves that question. How beautiful are your feet this morning? I wonder sometimes if if we are guilty of soiling our feet by getting involved in all the turmoil around us. You think of the political realm, and we get all fired up with things happening around us, and we think, at the least, we think bad things and perhaps even guilty of saying bad things. And I wonder if our feet are soiled and the peaceable fruit of righteousness isn't evident in my life at those times. When Jesus gave his manifesto of the kingdom, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. He was saying for his followers that war had ceased. It was over. Have we muddied and soiled our feet? And we claim to be preaching the gospel of peace. And yet, for some people, in our minds, Sometimes we think it's not worth it. Well, Jesus died for them too. We can be very guilty of not being who we say we are. Filled with the Spirit produces the fruit of peace. Are you a peaceable person this morning? Are you a peacemaker? Are you building walls? Am I building walls or am I tearing them down? Do I love preaching the gospel of peace? Do I have peace through Jesus Christ? Peace is available and only through Jesus Christ. It is the kind of peace that says, no matter what, I will go to that secret place and dwell with God there in the midst of the storm. And I can say that it is well with my soul. I think of that song, "When Peace Like a River." Can we really sing that? That is from our heart. Is that who you are? I came across an illustration that gives us a picture of the genuine spirit fruit of peace. And this is a true story. Back in the days of the Revolutionary War, there was a man that lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. This man was an Anabaptist. He was a Christian. You may have heard of this story. But he was not in favor and didn't participate in the war against England. He had a neighbor that was very angry with him and all the other conscientious objectors, and that neighbor stirred up the community against him, so much so that one night they came and burned down this man's yard and a number of his fields as well. They killed his horses and a number of other things. Yet this Christian man did not retaliate, and the war went on. It drug on and on for a time. Years later, this neighbor that was making it hard for the Christian man was arrested as a spy for the British government. And this Christian man, he heard that. He went. He walked 73 miles. He had to walk because they had killed his horses. But he walked 73 miles to talk to General Washington. And he knew General Washington. He was a personal friend of his. So he walked 73 miles in order to ask General Washington to not kill this man. When this Christian man walked into the courtyard where the trial was being held, the neighbor man, the ungodly man, was there. He saw him coming, and the neighbor man who was causing all these issues, he says, "There he is." I don't remember this Christian man's name, but "There is so-and-so, and he's here to watch me die." Well, this Christian made his plea for the man in order to save his life. He went to General Washington, and he pled that he would save his life. And General Washington said, I can't just release your friend. We have to go through the procedures and find out if he is guilty or not guilty." The Christian man looked at General Washington and said, "This man is not my friend. This man is my worst enemy, and yet I ask you to spare his life." Peaceable fruit of righteousness. Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Let's kneel for prayer.